Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. What a difference a day, about 20 degrees and no snow makes. Weather warms up, so do the Cubs' bats. Javi Baez hits another triple. Schwarber singles in a pair. Heck, even Jason Hayward went yard. Cubs drilled the Deadbirds for their first win since Saturday. So will the momentum last, or will Ian Happ stay on the bench? Bears minicamp wrapping up. Mitchell Trubisky says he's been coached more the last 3 days than he ever has. How long will it take him to master Matt Nagy's offense? Plus, the Bears' schedule has been leaked, including the reported Sunday night opener at Curly Lambeau Field. We'll show you how easy it will be for them to go 16-0. You heard me right, 16-0, my friend. Welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I hope you had a really good day. Weather's starting to turn. We're all in a good mood. Let's meet the panel for today's show. From the Chicago Tribune, his name is Phil Thompson. From the Sun-Times, he is Adam Johns. And from 670 The Score, he is Connor McKnight, a baseball savant on top of it. All right, Cubs beat the Cardinals today, 8-5 the final. A lot of good things to take out of this game. John Lester was excellent in six innings, gave up just two hits, one unearned run. Jason Hayward had a two-run home run, a run-scoring single. Another good day for him. Really, I think, Connor, boosts his confidence that, oh, maybe I can hit at this level.
Yeah, some of the peripherals look a lot better. You see the swing there. It looks less like an unfolding lawn chair than it has in the past, so that's nice to see.
Unfolding lawn chair?
Wow. Yeah, just a really awkward seven-stage kind of situation.
He used to be, Adam, he would be here, then go there, then up, then down, then back, and then through, and you're like, dude, too many moving parts.
Yeah, like the lawn chair. You got to unfold and can't figure out the whole thing. Every time. Yeah, every time. No, it's, you know, nice to see some of the offense come around. Kyle Schwarber going the other way with a single is really nice to see as well. You control some of the ABs. You get some relief pitching working fairly well. C.J. Edwards had to throw a couple extra strikes in this one, Carl Edwards. He was getting squeezed and still fought through it. And that was, to me, little things that I was really encouraged by out of this one, because he, you know, saw that adversity, went through it, his belt was getting a little tight, and he kind of pitched through.
Are we making a little too much of it, though, because they were facing Weaver? I mean, he's very young, and it just seems like he kind of went through a rough patch today.
Yeah.
So, I don't want to overstate, you know, the Cubs are back, their bats are back alive and everything, but
no, it's one day, and you got to go to Colorado and see how you do there.
There's
not a
there.
Bad team. There's supposed to be some snow and some rain there. I mean, it's crazy and ridiculous, but it is what it is. But it's still a good day when Hayward has two run-producing hits, one being a home run. Javi got a single going the other way. Mm-hmm. He had a triple. Those are good days.
I think it's good that you had some good starting pitching. I know, look, John Lester is supposed to be your ace, but with Darvish struggling, Quintana, your guy struggling, to have your starting pitcher get a quality start in there, strike out seven, have a good performance, I think the Cubs really needed that.
Lester's fascinating to me this season. We talked with Jed Hoyer today, and just in the conversation about John, he stays low, right? He has always stayed low. And the target for hitters in the last year and a half, 2 years, has started to go low, where John Lester likes to work. So we're going to see him, I think, this year throw a little bit higher in the zone with some fastballs, maybe change the angle on that cutter a little bit. But really, it's old dog learning new tricks, and he's got some serious skill sets to go ahead and accomplish that. It's going to be fun to watch because he's got to change a little, but still stay the kind of John Lester that he's been is, you know, 10 years in the
past. All right, let's talk about Javi Baez, who moved up to the two spot in the lineup today. Joe Maddon said before the game, if Ben Zobrist's back was healthy, he would be leading off. Instead, it was Albert Almora. He had 1-for-5 today. Javi Baez, though, goes the other way, comes up with a triple and a single. It was really good to see. You know, I like when guys go stay up the middle of the field.
Well, he mentioned, was it Joe Maddon who said today you're starting to see the ascension for Javi Baez, that if he starts to lay off the breaking ball low and away, he's Manny Ramirez? Certainly hope so. Love to see Manny in that lineup. Javi's got all the talent in the world. But there's holes in the swing. There always have been. I think you're still going to see some of those things pop up over the course of a year. But if there's anybody in that young core that hasn't already ascended to, you know, Rizzo or MVP status like Bryant, Javi's got the biggest strides to make.
Tim Wilkin was the scouting director for the Cubs when they drafted Javi Baez. Mm-hmm. This was under the last draft under the Jim Hendry regime. And Tim Wilkin said to me the day after the draft had been completed back in 2011, he said, I just drafted a guy who will be one of the best hitters in all of the sport. And the Padres were picking right behind the Cubs. That was Jed and Jason McLeod. And Jason tells the story. He said, I'm having a beer with Tim like 2 weeks before the draft. And I said, who are you going to take? Because it didn't matter. He's picking behind him. He goes, tell me who you're going to take. He said, I'm taking a shortstop. He said, Tim, Lindor is not going to be there.
Right.
He's going to Cleveland or whoever else was right before them. And he said, I don't care if he's on the board when we pick. If my guy's there, I'm leaving Lindor and I'm taking the other guy. He said, who are you taking? Taking Javi Baez. He said, oh, my God. He goes, the Padres said, we would not have taken him. And now they're thrilled to have him.
Elite bat speed. I mean, that's what you
Gary
draft,
Sheffield,
especially out
speed,
yeah, you know, that type of stuff, especially out of high school. I mean, that's what you've got to see. You see GM swing and miss, scouting director swing and miss with that kind of profile too. But, man, guys get enticed by that kind of bat through zone speed. It's terrifying.
To me, he's the most exciting player on the Cubs roster just because, well, what he does in the field. But there's a charisma. To
there
a
is.
Natural charisma. I mean,
he's
my son Colin's favorite player. I mean, kids love this guy. He brings that type of attraction, I think, to the Cubs.
I completely agree.
I think the issue is, I mean, he's good, but he knows he's good. He's got.
That swagger.
Yeah, but I mean, he's showing more discipline at the plate. I credit him all the world for that. But hot dogging in the field is still an issue.
Where you know, is he hot dogging?
With Rizzo, you know, when the pop up.
Yeah,
In foul territory.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he over there? Why is he trying to get? He's trying to do everything. I mean, he's good. I mean, he's excellent fielding, but you're part of a team. You're not out there doing it by yourself. And it seems like he wants every play, which is it's good that he wants that. But I mean, and then I think he had another error throwing to the first
play. Bad throw today.
Yeah, it's just I think sometimes he gets a little overconfident because he knows he's so good.
Yeah, he's got ridiculous talent. Let's talk about the top of the lineup because today with Zobrist still dealing with a bit of a back spasm, they decided to go with Albert Almora against a righty at the top of the lineup and Javi Baez, another righty at the top of the lineup in the two-hole. Here's Joe Maddon talking about it.
First of all, I really believe in Ian a lot, He's really a unique young man. He's introspective. He's bright. He has a really high emotional IQ, I believe. So he understands and accepts and works through moments as opposed to becoming overly emotional about them to the point where they're going to last longer. Right now they're just working through some things. And I talked to Chile a lot about it. And they got a really good plan working right now. And he feels much better on the right side of the plate than the left side, which is normally not the case. So that's a good thing in some ways that he's feeling better. Hopefully he'll be able to maintain that as he works through the left-handed problems that he's got. But I really like the way this guy is, and he'll work through it. He's going to work through it, and I like the plan that Chile has set forth for him.
All right, so there's Joe on Ian Happ. It sounds like he's not going to be in the lineup for at least a few days as they continue to work through some things. So Chris Kampgar, our great stats guy, the cruncher, put together these numbers. Albert Almora as a starter for the Chicago Cubs, their record is 54-39. You look at his batting average, 275, scored 41, 9 bombs, 42 RBIs, an OBP of 322, and a slug of 421. And the team record, 54-39 with one tie at the end of the season. There was, I think, against Pittsburgh that they never finished. And the last five starts this season, the Cubs are 5-0, and he's hitting 350 with an on-base percentage over 400. Ian Happ, though, in his MLB career, is hitting 249, but he's scored 57 runs. He's hit 24 home runs. He's driven in 67. OBP exactly the same at 322, but the slug 76 points higher at 497. What say you, analytical guy?
All things being equal here, the Cubs have an offense that can float a bat or two. We saw that in the World Series championship year with Jason Hayward in the lineup. We saw it a little bit with Kyle Schwarber some. And to be quite honest with you, if you're comparing those two players, I'm much more concerned about Almora's ability to play defense, which is elite, when you have Kyle Schwarber out there. We're seeing a Major League Baseball being played that has more fly balls at a rate
we've never seen. You're more concerned about Almora?
I want more defense out there. That's what I want. I would more have, if I'm making my lineup, I say Almora's got the better D.
Oh, I thought you
said you were concerned about it. Yeah. Oh, no, my concern is about defense in general, I suppose, especially in the outfield with the Cubs. If you've got Kyle Schwarber out there, I think you need Albert Almora in center field. You have to make up for where these batted balls are going, and that's primarily right now to the outfield.
Right, and everyone says to me, well, Ian Happ is a faster runner, but there's instincts of how you play a game. Albert is a natural center fielder.
Oh, it's not even close in terms of fielding. I'm just tired of this issue, this leadoff issue. I know they don't have a prototypical leadoff hitter. I don't know how long did Schwarber have a run there last year?
I think they gave him a month. A pretty good month.
Can we give one of these guys a good month to try to figure it out?
I think with the two of them, I mean, I don't know if it's Happ versus Almora, but with the two of them, now you've got some platoon issues to worry about, too. You heard Joe saying that Happ feels a little bit more comfortable from the right side than left, which is unusual. You've got some good clunky pieces. Like, they're good problems to have. Don't get me wrong.
By the way, there's the Ankin Law poll question today. Does Joe need to stick with today's lineup that worked exceptionally well, or stick with the matchups? Right now, 62% or so are saying stick with the matchups. Couldn't disagree with you more. I'd like to see the lineup we ran out there today.
Some stability.
And let's see where it goes for a couple of weeks. Let's see where it's at.
I agree. I mean, I agree with Adams. Just stick with one guy. They're both young players. And I think part of the batting from left issues is probably just a matter of youth and confidence for Happ. You know, if you're going to put him out there, let him work through his mistakes.
Well, continuity helps with confidence just in general. It doesn't matter what sport. So you give these guys some stability, give them some extra opportunities to fail and then succeed. Yeah. Could help out the Cubs in the long run.
I don't need a consistent leadoff hitter as long as you've got some helium under Javi Baez. If he's a little higher in the lineup, that 7 and 8 spot, if 2's there, if 3's there, if 4's there.
Can you have a permanent spot for him?
2? I don't know that Joe or the Cubs are really married to permanent spots, to be honest with you. I mean, you've got Chris Bryant, who's just – his permanent spot's got to be batting 1, 2, or 3. I mean, that dude has to have as
he
many –
He could lead
AB.
Off.
He absolutely could.
Oh, don't open that.
470.
He absolutely could.
He absolutely
100%.
Could.
I think the Yankees have led Aaron Judge off and are talking about doing it more.
Just more bats.
Your best hitters bat the most number of times.
Yep. Just extra AB. I think the difference between 1 and 2 over a season is something like 60 ABs or maybe 90.
All right, 2018 Bears schedule is out, kind of. The matchups have leaked, including opening on a Sunday night at Lambeau and spending Thanksgiving in Detroit. So will they go 16-0 or 15-1? We'll ask Adam Johns, and Mitch Trubisky says he's received more coaching the past 3 days than in his entire career. Take that, Dowell Loggins. So how long will it take him to learn Matt Nagy's offense?
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move? I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Show you
the schedule yet?
Yeah. He's just looking for
aim. Don't give him a scoop.
It comes out tonight, right? What's a couple hours? What's a couple hours? What time is it? I may know a couple more things than you guys, but a couple hours. It'll be out.
Prime time for week one in Green Bay. What would that opportunity be like? How exciting would that be?
We'll see. That would be. We've got a couple more hours, so I guess we'll find out.
We just can't wait. Here's the schedule, reportedly. Mitch and Matt take the new offense to Curly Lambeau on Sunday Night Football. Packers open at home to begin what they're calling their 100th anniversary season, but I think they've only played 98 official seasons of football. First game at Soldier Field Monday night against the Seahawks. Then they go to Arizona, host Tampa before the bye in Week 5. Out of the bye, it's 4 straight against the AFC East. Then 3 straight versus the NFC North. back-to-back home games for the Lions and Vikings. Then they play the Lions in Detroit on Thanksgiving. That'll be fun. And the final five games at the Giants, home versus the Rams, home versus Green Bay, at Jimmy G and the 49ers, and then they wrap up the season in Minnesota. All right, we were doing records on Waddle and Sylvie. I was in with Tommy today, and I have the Bears at 9-7.
I heard Big Cat has him at 13-3.
13-3. Waddle has him at 7-9.
7-9?
Yes. Have you done that exercise at all?
No, not yet. I don't think the schedule is as hard and as difficult as some people think it is, though. The Seattle Seahawks are not the Seattle Seahawks.
Like, the first four games, like, if I told you, oh, my God, they upset Green Bay, oh, my God, you're going to look at the next three and go, and again, you don't know.
Yeah.
If Mitch Trubisky's not healthy or Aaron Rodgers is not healthy, you don't know who you're playing at this point. But I have them losing at Green Bay and then winning the next three.
It's certainly possible. The Buccaneers aren't that good. They took a step back with Jameis Winston. The Cardinals, you know what their quarterbacks are?
Sam Bradford and Mike Glennon.
Mike Glennon. So Mike Glennon, you know Sam Bradford's going to get hurt. He's probably hurt right now. Mike Glennon is going to start that game. Don't call it his revenge game.
Shots fired.
Mitch Trubisky is going to beat Mike Glennon.
Shots fired. I don't know, man. I look at that first half of the schedule. I could easily see 2-5 just to start.
Where?
We don't know. Look, there's too many variables that we don't know. We're talking about what the schedule is going to be, and we haven't even had the draft yet. We don't know if the Buccaneers are going to have Geis at running back, or, you know, maybe by some crazy happenstance, Saquon Barkley falls to them. You think the Bears
are
going to be
whizzing on my parade?
Look, man, I'm being pragmatic. I'm being realistic. We have a new coach. We have a second-year quarterback. We don't know how he's going to fit into that system. You have kind of a temperamental running back in Jordan Howard. You know, if things aren't clicking for him early, is he going to sulk? Look. I'm going to be, you know, Chicken Little, the sky is falling. You don't know what you're going to have with this team.
I choose to look at the glass half full, my man. 9 wins at least.
I think there's a lot of teams on the Bears' schedule that have a lot of questions, more questions than the Bears have at quarterbacks. You got the Bills. Yeah. You see some of the reports coming out of Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. He seems very dissatisfied. That's something to watch. You got the Jets. Who's their quarterback? The Giants. Is Eli Manning going to be Eli Manning last year or 5 years ago? Who are they drafting at number two? So you have a lot of situations kind of in flux.
I think New England comes in here. Who's playing quarterback for them?
Okay, and Tom Brady's coming back. Enough of that.
But I'm kidding.
But, like, you look at the Seahawks. Richard Sherman is gone. Michael Bennett is gone. That is a team that is rebuilding. They're not saying it. Yes, they got Russell Wilson and some weapons on offense, but that team is rebuilding. That defense is not the same.
Man, I thought I'd be the wet blanket strapped over Cap's shoulders for this one. The NFL schedule at this point just doesn't – to me, I don't – no one knows anything whatsoever. 8-8. 16-0. 0-16. I don't know where you're going to be at. You play the injury reports in this league, I think, right? Although one thing I will tell you, I do not want to face an angry Aaron Rodgers any day of the week. Monday, Sunday, Thursday, I don't want to see him. He's going to ruin things.
He's a beast.
Yeah. Destroy
He's
people.
The best quarterback in the game right now. I just think this schedule's got
more
hold.
You were up at the mini camps.
Yeah.
Your takeaway now that it's over, the 3 days are in the books, and Trubisky's quote, oh, my God, I had more coaching the last 3 days than I've had in my career.
Yeah, I think all our eyes kind of opened up to that quote. We all scribbled it down in our notebooks or tweeted it or whatever. That's what everybody does. They tweet it now. Shots at Dow Loggins and John Fox, probably. But I think it speaks more to the situation that Ryan Pace has kind of built for Mr. Trubisky. He's literally being coached every step of his way. You know, he's not listening to the old bar tales from John Fox anymore. He's getting coached, talking to Matt Nagy. Right,
I got a question real quick, if I can ask. What was his tone with that? Because Trubisky has kind of a folksy.
Let's hear from Mitch.
Okay.
Okay, we paid a photographer. Why don't we utilize that photographer? Take a listen.
Coach Nagy's awesome. Just every day you can feel the excitement and the energy he brings, and you can hear the passion in his voice and how he talks about things. I just really, I get a really genuine feel when I'm around him. You can just, he's very authentic. He's real. He's going to keep it real all the time, and he's awesome to be around. So he's been that way from day one, and it's going to stay that way. And he's just rallying the troops, and we're all buying into his plan. We're all very excited to play for him, and we had a great 3 days, so we just got to keep it rolling from there. But he's put a great staff together, and just continued excited to learn from him and everyone else as we move forward. I mean, I feel like these last 3 days I've been coached more than I ever have, because I have Coach Helfrich, Coach Ragone, who was here last year with me, Coach Nagy, and then I come off when it's not my reps, and I talk to Tyler, I talk to Chase. So just having a bunch of like brilliant offensive minds around me, I'm just getting a lot of information. I'm trying to be a sponge, and it's been a lot of fun working with those guys and just learning as much as I can these last 3 days.
Now, some people took that as a shot at John Fox, Dowell Loggins. I didn't. I thought he was just being effusive in his praise of what he's been given.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He literally did not stop smiling. He smiled so much during this press conference. He loves the situation he's in. The football makes sense. The style of football that Matt Nagy is installing offensively makes sense to him, not only physically, but mentally. He's every right to be excited right now.
I get it. He's geeked. He's totally geeked for the football. But I wouldn't mind if it were a shot at John Fox and Dowell. This guy's got run out of town, and they got run out of town for a reason. He's in a situation now where, especially with the quarterbacks you mentioned too, the room he's going to be in, he's got guys in there that have felt this offense, that have thought this offense through. He has to be coached more in the last 3 days than he's ever been coached before. He's only played 13 games at North Carolina. He played the handful last season and was just trying to be a caretaker, essentially, and develop his own skill set. He's got to be coached that much.
Yeah, but I also think it's a testament to John Fox's style. You know, everybody says that, he's evasive with the media, but I think there's a part of him that he has a need-to-know kind of relationship with his players. I mean, they say he's much better with his players than he is with media or than he is with fans, but that's not saying a whole lot. And I think, this is just an honest testament to what Trubisky is saying about his relationship.
He forgot to mention somebody too. Yeah. Brad Childress is part of the Bears offensive staff too. So the coaching he gets literally is nonstop. Everybody he talks to is coaching.
How long will it take him to master this offense?
Oh, it's going
to
take.
Are we talking 2 years? Are we talking, hey man, by week 4 or 5 he should be locked in?
Master? Yeah, 2 or 3 years. I mean, that's when these quarterbacks really start to take off. I mean, the evolution of these guys. Yes, you want it to see it quickened, hastened, whatever word you want to use. It's going to take time, but it doesn't mean he can't be a productive quarterback and do some good things this year. I mean, Drew Brees didn't become Drew Brees the Hall of Famer in year one. It took him 2 or 3 years to get there.
Here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. When will Mitch Trubisky make his first Pro Bowl? 2018 gets 74% right now.
The Kool-Aid is being shared
the
around
Kool-Aid
this city. Everybody heard his press
blowing.
Conference today.
Look.
Come on, people.
Look. I'm a huge Trubisky guy.
But there's like never.
Right.
Never.
both ends.
Those are the haters.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Trubisky guy, and I do think he's going to be a hell of a good quarterback.
Yes.
I do. How far away are they in terms of adding pieces where you go, that team could contend to go to the playoffs?
I don't think it takes that long to overhaul certain positions. Look at the receiver and what they did already this year. Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, you draft the guy. Yes, the Cam Meredith thing stings a bit. You could question that decision if you want. But in terms of adding receivers and weapons, I think the Bears have overhauled quite nicely.
Trey Burton.
Yeah, will it work? I don't know, but they've upgraded. If you want to compare to what he had last year, significant upgrades made this year in terms of pass catchers.
Well, it didn't take much given the receiving core they had last year. I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're completely right. They had absolutely nothing there, hot garbage mostly. But I mean, you take a look, won't his mastery of the offense go faster if they have indeed added the right pieces? I know it sounds kind of elementary at best, but like, if they got the right guys.
It helps someone to catch the ball and get open. Yeah,
and guys who know the offense and can fit the roles that Nagy is looking for here. I mean, like, if they got it right with Trey Burton, that's a safety blanket for Mitchell Trubisky just to dump things off to and fit the offense.
Yeah, I do think there's weapons on this team. Don't count out Adam Shaheen. He was top 50 pick last year of the draft. I mean, he was a second-round pick. They have big things planned for him.
The haters are making a run here. I think Glenn Morgan, one of our camera guys, is voting while he's running the camera.
You're seeing the dichotomy
Never.
You're seeing the dichotomy of the Chicago sports fans. Absolute hate or absolute Kool-Aid. You know, there's very little in between, as you can see in these.
Will they draft a running back?
Well, it would be, what, 3 or 4 years in a row? 4 years in a row now for Ryan Pace?
He's
done it every single year. I think you can avoid that position a little bit. Now, is Jordan Howard the long-term staple in the Bears' backfield? No, I don't think he will be. I really don't. You've seen so many teams change.
Yeah, I don't either. It's funny, talking to a couple of guys that were on the staff last year, I said, what do you think of Jordan Howard? And both guys leave me and they go, he's a guy. Please, stop.
No, I think he's better than a guy.
That's what they said. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But they said he can't catch. he has no breakaway speed. They go, nice.
Right,
player.
The breakaway speed. He still has nice vision. He still busts out of 30 to 40 yard runs, and it seems seamless and effortless until someone catches him from behind, which does happen. You could probably upgrade that position, and you can do that over time. I just don't think you have to do it this year.
No. No, I mean, I agree. He's a nice plugger, and that's what you want for a quarterback situation like you have with Trubisky.
Just like to see him and Tariq Cohen work together in this offense. I don't know how necessarily that sets up, whether that's Cohen in the slot. I mean, you're probably not going to have both of them in the backfield all that much. I imagine it'd be kind of challenging. But the two of the skill sets for the both of them kind of they're, if you marry them together the right way, it's pretty interesting. I know Howard doesn't have the breakaway speed, but you got to respect Cohen's.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, I think you've got more weapons on that field.
You
than
mentioned
maybe we're
Trey Burton being like a safety blanket for Mr. Trubisky. I think you got a couple who could emerge in this situation. You got the middle of the field, and you have matchup creators. You got Adam Shaheen, who wasn't given an opportunity to actually catch the ball, wasn't that bad. You know, maybe they should have used him a bit more. So Trey Burton becomes something, and Tariq Cohen over the middle against some bigger, slower linebackers, even against some of these slow-footed safeties. He's a mismatch, and they didn't use him all that much over the middle of the field last year, and I think Matt Nagy definitely will.
Defense, Akeem Hicks came out and said, we're a top-five defense. Do you agree with that?
No. They need more playmakers, like legitimate playmakers. Now, they were solid last year, and that was despite having an awful offense on the other side. But you need guys that take the ball away. You need guys who understand.
So do you move up and go, all right, what's the price? I want Bradley Chubb.
Well, what pick? Five or six?
Yeah, Denver says they're willing to deal at five.
Yeah, I want to go up higher than five. I think the cost would be too much. It depends on what you're giving up. You don't have much draft capital. You don't have a third-round pick because of the Trubisky move last year. So I would do it. I think Bradley Chubb is an outstanding top three player prospect this year. I think he's a lot better than trading up for Leonard Floyd like he did for last year. He's a more sure thing. He's not a project like Floyd was a couple years ago. But what are you giving up? It can't be too much to go up to five.
Yeah, can they afford to give up more draft capital? I mean, what are you giving up to move up from eight to five? That's a pretty good jump.
The question is, do they need to? Stop giving up draft capital that you don't have to.
But you need a guy that puts a quarterback on his back, and Bradley Chubb is elite.
Yeah, but is he the only guy in this draft that can do that? That's the question.
He's at a different level.
You have
different level.
In terms of pass rushers, yes. I think he's like, after him, there's a lot of question marks on a lot of these guys. People talk about Harold Landry out of Boston College.
Kid at Texas San Antonio.
Yeah, he's a big-time project. I think he's gonna take a couple years to get his footing. Look, there's a lot of questions about those other guys. If Chubb's not there, you're still looking at a premier defensive player at number eight. Guys who are the best at their positions, whether it's Denzel Ward, the cornerback,
Roquan Smith,
the inside linebacker, Minkah Fitzpatrick, the safety. Those guys are the best at their respective positions, and they could be there for the Bears at number eight.
And don't forget, Quentin Nelson, the offensive lineman, some are saying is the best pure football player in the draft.
Uh-huh.
And his coach, Harry Hiestand, is the O-line coach of the Bears now.
I get that there's talent up there, and the quarterback situation with the first couple of teams is going to be fascinating.
Now, the Ringer had an article today are considering, not saying they would, considering, and they've had internal discussion, taking quarterbacks at one and
four. That'd be the dumbest thing in NFL history.
No,
that would be idiotic.
It's an intern walking into the draft room going, hey, you guys think about drafting two quarterbacks? No.
That's literally Kevin Costner taking over their draft room and making their picks for them. Like,
hey, man, he got Vontae Mack no matter
what. What does that say about your evaluation? Yeah, right? That's why you take the linebacker, Roquan Smith. That would be so absurd. Maybe like the Redskins did it a couple years ago where they took RG3 at what, number two?
And then they took four.
That makes sense. But one and four, like, what are you doing? What does that say about your evaluations? It's just absurd.
I tend not to believe that, even for the Browns, though. Yeah. I mean, how credible is that information?
It's the Browns.
Yeah. I know it's the Browns, but no one can be that stupid.
This is the Browns. They did trade up for Johnny Manziel. Did they trade up for him? But they drafted, I mean, Johnny Manziel, Tim Couch. It goes on and on and on.
All right, join us Thursday night, April 26th at Buffalo Wings and Rings in Bridgeport for our authentic fan draft night. It starts with a Beer Money taping at 5:30, followed by Sports Talk Live on location. Then it's live NFL draft reaction with Lawrence Holmes, Alex Brown, and a whole lot more. Thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.